We're going to take your calls, so let's get straight to it. Let's get to our callers. They all go into the draw for a $50 tab voucher. David, good morning to you.
Good morning, fellas. No, thanks.
Good, David.
Good morning, Dave.
Just basically about the young jockey, right? I just asked Dean on his opinion. I think he's improved an awful lot. He could always ride young Jake Bayliss. There's two brothers, obviously, Regan as well. They both look like they're going to be very good riders in the future, but he's improved an awful lot in the last few months, I reckon. Dino, just wondering, have you seen much of him, or what's your opinion?
Yeah, well, he's the older of the two brothers, so we've seen him for a bit longer, but he's starting to really hit his straps, and his ride on Radical on Saturday was outstanding because he let the favourite go up inside him early and just put it in the best pocket of all time, or the other favourite, Heavy, and it was a really good tactical ride. And that's, you know, when you see kids starting to do things like that, you think that they're maturing, and he's ridden probably half a dozen Saturday winners in recent weeks, and he's going well.
Cheers, Dino. Yeah, just another thing, yeah, just bagging jockeys, you know, it seems to be a big sort of big culture here. You've a guy, the regular caller to your show there, Anthony, I think his name is. Jesus, every week he's potting a jockey. And I mean, it's a tough job, you know. I don't understand that everyone's entitled to their opinion, but I mean, they're sports people like everything else, you know. Footballers have a bad game and whatever, every other sort of sport, you know, they're not consistently. It's a tough game, you know, when you're sitting on a horse at that speed. And I just think, you know, they should be given a break.
They're not short of advice, David. There's no doubt about that. There's plenty of champion grandstand jockeys. But you know, we love different opinions, so I'm not going to back people for having an opinion. But they probably, it's a very competitive market here. Good on you, Dave. You're going to the draw for the tab voucher, the $50 tab voucher. We're taking your calls. Do we bag more heavily, Michael, than others?
Well, I made a mistake one day. I was at
only one?
Yeah. It was one of my early mistakes. I was at Randwick Racecourse, and I was looking at the horses go around the enclosure. And I was standing there with a mate of mine, and I'd backed Mark Newnham. This is when Mark was riding. I'd backed him on a horse earlier in the week. And I said, that bloody Mark Newnham, he cost me money, da-da-da-da-da. And I wasn't too savage on him. And then I turned to my left, and this woman standing next to me absolutely gave it to me. And as it turned out, it was Mark's mother. So I learnt my lesson early in life there too. If I'm going to bag them, I bag them to myself.
Or check who's standing around
exactly,
you before you bag them.
Yeah.
I guess we don't give too many excuses, do we, Dino? We are pretty harsh on them.
We're certainly critical of them, and that. I suppose they're the last link
in
the race
chain.
Is on. I mean, the horse might have been badly trained for a fortnight, but that doesn't sort of come up.
Who's more critical of jockeys, punters or trainers?
Evens each of two.
I've got to say that I was publicly quite critical of Joe, the magic man, a couple of times when he rode here in Sydney over the carnival, but I think they were probably, those criticisms were justified. He sort of got away from the fence a couple of times when he shouldn't have. And
he got the patterns wrong, didn't he?
Exactly right. He was in, the in was in and he was out, sort of thing.
Yeah.
And which was really strange.
That's
because
fair enough.
he's regarded. Everyone sort of basically says he could be the world's best rider. I think a perfect jockey, you'd want him over the last. If you could get him into the clear with a horse with energy over the last 300 metres, I don't think there's another jock in the world can get any more out of them than he's just got that beautiful position on the horse with the balance, and it just all clicks perfectly. The problem that he has, I don't think he's quite learned how to ride through the race to the levels that everyone thinks he can. I mean, I shouldn't mention his name, but one of our really, really good riders said, I asked him about him. I said, what do you think of the Magic Man? And he said, really good, really good. He's got an unbelievable balance. He said, he doesn't ride any better through a race than us, but he said he's just got this amazing balance.
Mm, there you go. He goes well. There's no doubt about that.
Sure.
Let's
does.
Keep taking calls. Hello, Warren. Good morning.
Morning, boys. Can I direct a question to Dean? I'm glad he's back.
Sure.
Yes.
Dean, look, you did mention you went to the races, and I want to go back to Flemington the previous week, the last race, the mare's race. I'm talking through my pocket, only way to talk, but itineration. It's a two-part question. Craig Williams, who rode the winner Jesse Bell, 11 meetings for causing interference there, no protests whatsoever. Dwayne Dunn was on Itineration.
Yep.
I just feel, is there a bit of a code amongst some of our leading jockeys? The premiership's so close down there that he didn't fire in a protest.
Well, I don't think there's a code because they're two of the ones fighting it out.
Yeah.
Look, Itineration... Look, I thought it was a very harsh penalty, to be honest, for a start. Iteration did get interference, there's no doubt, but it didn't affect it to the extent that it was going to beat Jesse Bell home, and that's what they had to prove. Yes, it probably cost it... would it run third?
Third.
Iteration. It probably cost it running second, but it didn't cost it winning, and that's... It would have had to have proven that it would have beaten Jesse Bell home, and that's... That's up for another debate, but it was never, it wasn't going to beat Jesse Bell home. That's the whole crux of the why he didn't protest.
Mate, a second part question to it. She's got very low ratings from friends, but she looks like she's a distance horse. She's with a good stable. Which direction do you think they might go with her?
Well, I'll either, I would say probably give her a couple more runs and try and get her rating up, a little break, and then into the back end of spring. She looks like a mare that might be, for a matriarch or something like that. At the back end of spring, but she's and really caught the eye in the mounting yard. Really good type.
That's what I saw. I did see that, and but I followed her pre racing sort of thing. I thought this horse could go well first up. It just read very well, and it had been over the hurdles a bit. And I thought, he's got this ready. This horse.
Yeah.
Good on you. Well done. Thanks, Warren. Good morning, guys. Great show. Congratulations to Rose Hill for really pushing. People on track using the 4th of July. At least we're not laying back and waiting for customers. Let's keep pushing for more fans. Cheers, Chris. Yeah, Chris, any hook they can have to try and get people to the races is a good one. 2KY Sky Racing Family Affair. Mother and son win the Civic Stakes 16 years apart. I was unaware of this. Great to see Houseman win the Civic Stakes at Rose Hill. His dam, Win City, won the same race on the 1st of the 5th, 1999, a filly owned by the Rankin family. Thanks, Ken Rankin. Good on you. Ken Rankin down there on the south coast. Win City, you remember her, Michael?
I certainly do. It was a long time ago. I was wondering how anyone would piece that together and the owner.
16 years apart. So wow. Houseman, Dino, was pretty good. You don't see too many Godolphin horses start at 20-1. It'll probably just go for another Saturday win. It's the horse that, in fact, it's going up for the Winter Cup, isn't it? The Civic Stakes, now aimed at the $100,000 Winter Cup, which is actually won by General Leafe. So General Leafe won the Civic last year, then went on to win the Winter Cup.
Well, yeah, and they're similar horses. I sort of, Houseman and General Leafe did their early racing down here went through the grades a little bit, and when John O'Shea first took over, General Leafe was the one that he really got going, and now Houseman's sort of following a very similar path, as you say, and going probably as well.
So I think that was like one of the, that was a bit of a drought breaker, wasn't it, this time 12 months ago for John, and he's gone on to train another 165 winners since then.
Drought's well broken now.
Yeah, $11 million in prize money. That's it. So, it was good to see. Good to see. Mate, I thought Shiraz was pretty good as well, Michael. Exploded at about the 300. Showed a really good turn of foot on that rain-affected track, trained by Tony McAvoy. He's just going to keep it racing over the winter around that 1,400-metre mark. But it'll probably win again. Looks like it's got some talent.
Oh, it certainly has. Lightly raced gallop. It was first up on the weekend. Its fresh form is fantastic. I think it had won 3 out of its 4 fresh runs. This horse had the 2 Barrett trials. He trialled at Hawkesbury on the 26th. On the 22nd of June, and we all know Tony McAvoy is very good at getting his horses ready to produce something fresh. Well, he took being a secret trainer to new levels for this trial. This trial was running complete fog. Nobody saw anything. The only time you saw this horse was when it came out of the fog at the 100. It was 5 in front.
That's a good sign.
And Jeff Penzer had a lap full of horse. So it wasn't a surprise win. It was well-backed. Beautiful ride. Got the job done, and he's open to more improvement. I think it goes just as good second up as it does first up.
Yeah. Just on that race, though, Michael, I thought Brook Road and Casual Choice probably got too far back.
Yeah, Casual Choice got back, but courtesy of a rails run sort of made ground about the 300, then got a little bit wider. Brooke Road, look, missed the start slightly, lost contact with the field, ran on fair, probably had too much to do, but was a tad disappointing. Now, it could be argued that the win a couple of weeks ago over the same track and distance took a little bit out of it because the two runs prior to that were a bit ordinary. So just wait and see with her whether she can bounce back or not.
All right, so don't drop off completely.
No, not completely.
Let's get back to the open line. Our callers go into the draw for a $50 tab voucher. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, Terry, how are you?
Well, thank you.
I've got a question for Dino.
Yep. Yes, Andrew?
Were you at Pakenham yesterday?
No, I wasn't.
So you didn't witness Sandwich Gate then?
No, I didn't.
What on earth happened there?
Can someone explain Sandwich Gate for me?
I can. Trainer Bryce Stanaway had four runners at a meeting. He had five. He had two early in the day and then two later in the day. And after his first couple of runners, he went to the owner trainer's bar and was wanting to get the free sandwiches. And they'd run out for the time being, and he complained. And he and the CEO, Michael Hodge, had a bit of a standoff. And Michael Hodge said, well, if you don't like racing at Pakenham, I suggest you don't come back. And he said, well, I won't. And he took his horses and went home. And they were scratched.
But they can't do that, can they?
Well, they can't. It's a farce.
Would the steward step into that?
Don't you need a track upgrade or something like that to scratch
yours?
There's
going to be ramifications. Between 8:30 and 9 on Melbourne Radio, we've heard from Bryce Stanaway, we've heard from Michael Hodge, the CEO at Pakenham, and Terry Bailey, the chief steward, who wasn't working yesterday. There'll be more to come of it. It was a ridiculous situation. Bryce can be quite outspoken. He, of course, is the trainer of Crafty Cruiser, and in recent years he's had some good, honest, tough stayers, a horse like Elwood. And about 6 years ago, he won a $50,000 bonus for being the leading trainer of stayers at Flemington. They put a bonus on, and at the presentation, he abused Flemington for not putting on enough staying races, and they gave him $50,000 for nothing. And that was the end of that bonus, actually.
Does he have a full share in all of those horses he took home? Because surely other owners would be able to step in there and say, you're not scratching my horse, I've come here to run.
Yeah, he's the majority owner in nearly all of his horses.
Is he?
Yeah. Okay, right. Fair enough. Well, okay. That's unfortunate for the rest of the owners then, but perhaps they won't be using his services again if he's going to carry on like that.
Yep, yeah, no.
Well, he's got some issues.
Well, that's right.
He's won $50,000, then he's crueled everybody else's chances by giving it a bake, so they took it off.
Yeah, I think someone summed it up best on Twitter that, unfortunately, there was a sandwich short at Pakenham yesterday.
I like that.
I love it.
I like that.
Yeah, Bryce.
Good on
Bryce.
You, Andrew.
Yeah. Who needs a talking to?
There's some strange things happen, but
anyway.
That's right up there, Dino.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Who came up with Sandwich Gate?
I like it, Andrew. More of your calls, David, Mad Dog, Sean. Hang on, we're coming directly back.
Sky Sports Radio brings you all the latest on one of Australia's biggest country carnivals, Grafton.
We'll get a big Grafton roar in a moment.
Sean Cosgrove, Greg Radley, Gary Cleese, along with race callers Darren Flindell and Anthony Collins, provide the ingredients for compelling listening.
Grafton Cup, they're set to go, and they're racing.
Cessnock stage their Jungle Juice Race Day this Tuesday. All the New South Wales action is right here on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
It was a brilliant cup.
Got that sick feeling just thinking about how much money you owe? No money to enjoy life. If this sounds like you, give Capital Debt Solutions a call for a confidential chat about a government-legislated agreement that combines your debts into just one regular weekly repayment. Interest-free, tailored to your budget. Focus on a debt-free future. You deserve it. Capital Debt Solutions. Solutions for your financial freedom. 1300 107 155 or capitaldebtsolutions.com.au.
This station endorses the Commercial Radio Codes of Practice, which have been registered by the Australian Communications and Media Authority. The codes relate to taste and decency, accuracy and fairness in news and current affairs and advertising. Copies of the codes are available from Commercial Radio Australia. If you feel a code of practice has been breached, your complaint should be made in writing and directed to the manager, Sky Sports Radio, GPO Box 4168, Sydney 2001.
This is Punters Postmortem. Want to get something off your chest? Call us on 13 53 53, SMS 0419 767 272, or send us a tweet at Sky Sports Radio 1.
It is amazing, Dino, isn't it? When you think you've just heard about everything, every possible scenario, we had that sandwich incident.
Hard to believe. Nothing like a race course to find an unusual incident.
No. Mad Dog, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. How are you guys?
Good, thanks, Mad Dog.
Paddy.
Yeah, just calling because pretty much in the racing mood. I'm on my way up to Wellington today with my parents to check out the action and Jungle Juice Cup tomorrow. Oh. So pretty excited there. But just wanted to talk about Christian Reece. Few years ago, definitely missed the consistency. Really nice to see him get a couple of winners up on the weekend. Where do you think he's at, sort of in his headspace at the moment? And do you think he's starting to get back to his old form?
Michael, I'll go to you. Obviously, he left Sydney. He went to Hong Kong. It didn't quite work out. He came back home and he's trying to re-establish himself, which is not easy in Sydney, Michael.
Well, it's not. It's, you know, this is probably the mecca of the best jockeys in the world, you know. But look, Christian's always been a top flight jockey. He's always had, you know, a couple of little issues that he's had to deal with, personal stuff, and he's working through it. Mm. He's back here now. Look, at his best, he's right up there with the best of them. But as TK just said, you know, this is a big pond at the moment, and to re-establish yourself, It's quite hard, but there's no doubt in the guy's ability.
I'd have no problem backing anything Christian's right.
Oh, 100. Well, he rode a double on Saturday.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
He rode them both beautifully.
Yeah. He just needs the opportunities, Mad Dog, like everybody else. Now, they don't sell the old Jungle Juice anymore, do they, Mad Dog?
Oh, look, this will be my first time, so if it's there, I'll
give
I'll
it a try.
A few, for sure.
I don't know whether they're allowed to.
Oh, okay.
We can probably establish that. Yeah, the Jungle Juice, that's at Muswellbrook, and then we've got Wednesday, the Ramorny at Grafton, and then you may as well keep going up the coast, Mad Dog.
Mate, very tempting, but it'll have to get a few winners up to sustain myself.
There you go. Let it ride. Sounds like a good trip, mate. Wellington, Muswellbrook for the Jungle Juice, but I'm pretty sure they don't sell it anymore. Hi, Sean. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you, boys?
Good, thanks, Sean.
I'm just wondering if you guys agree with the Katie Mallion suspension.
Dino, that's one for you.
Yeah, probably. she cut
reluctantly.
cut them a bit fine early, so.
So if it was her fault, if the stewards have deemed her to do that, shouldn't our mug punters get our money back?
I don't understand what you mean.
Well, it's like the race Admire Radke.
Yeah.
Where Zach Purton overwhipped the horse to win.
Right.
For the mug punter who comes second, for the jockey to ride within the limits and not overwhip the horse, if he had overwhipped it, he would have beaten Admire Radke. So shouldn't the second place horse getter, the mug punter, get their money back?
Well, they got the option to protest. If they were so aggrieved, the connection to the second horse. But how, if and when we do have a protest about whip use, Michael, how are they going to prove the strength of what's going on?
Exactly right.
They've had
exactly
a couple, right, haven't they, down in Adelaide?
Have they?
I think so, in the early days, you know, when it first came in, because it's a point that we've gone over a fair bit, and it's a valid one. You know, the stewards suspend them for that, believing what you've got to try and do is prove how much it does improve the horse.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Caitlin Mallion's suspension's nothing to do with that, though. I mean,
no,
we were on two different matters here. It was just a careless riding very early in the race, and, she just overstepped the mark.
Where does she sit with you, Dean?
She's improved a lot. She rode a lot of winners really quickly, and then she had that really bad fall. and I think she didn't have a lot of depth of experience. And in that, another 2 years in of her apprenticeship, she's riding really well now, like tactically, and horses go very sweetly for her. And yeah. We saw that on Saturday on Charmed Harmony. She led on him and didn't go too slowly. And that I like that jockeys are brave enough to do that.
I think Sean's point too, the second part of that thing is, if a jockey causes interference, they get suspended for it. Yeah. It might have interfered with your horse, which cost it a chance of winning the race. That could have been at the 1,000-metre mark. Now, you finish midfield, you've been denied a probably fair crack at the race because of that interference, but you get no cigar. You get nothing. He was saying maybe you should get your money back. But, geez, we'd have a lot of refunds happening.
We'd have no prize money.
Yeah, it'd be nothing.
Good on you, Sean. You go into the draw. Let's keep taking...
Is the Jungle Juice at Cessnock tomorrow, not Muscle?
Cessnock, sorry.
Yeah. I just got a text.
Sorry. But I don't think... Jungle Juice. Do they still make it? If you can help us out.
Yeah, I'm...
1353-53. Loris, good morning.
Oh, good morning. Good morning, boys.
Good morning, Loris.
Good morning, Loris.
Hey, Loris.
Could I speak a little bit to Dino?
You can, Loris.
All right, love.
Go ahead.
Go for it, Loris.
Dino, my name is Loris, and I've been punting all my life. And I love Melbourne racing. And this is what I'm ringing for. This dispute is still going on. It's been on for the last 3 weeks. And I've got no viewing. Mm. What's the good of punting if you can't watch your horse run?
Yeah, it's very sad, Loris.
Yeah, it is very sad, love. I know it's all money behind it. But,
Well, we can only hope for a resolution to help the punter out, Loris. And I think they're working on it. All the parties are working away, trying to come up with some resolution. So let's hope we can see it shortly.
Oh, it's about time, because even through the week, there's no viewing at all.
Yeah.
And I thought nobody's speaking about it, so...
There's plenty of talking happening. They're just trying to get a resolution, Loris, we hope.
Well, I hope it's pretty quick, because I'm just as likely to fall off the perch.
Oh, come on. Oh, Loris, don't worry. We all might be, and you're 92.
I know that, love. I go day by day, but I still love my punt.
Good on you.
Yay.
Do you follow Dino?
Sorry?
Oh, I love my tips. You're a great, great tipster.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks, Loris.
Not you.
Oh, sorry.
Have a lovely day, because I'm not enjoying my punting at the moment.
No, I can understand that, Loris.
Loris.
Yeah.
You're going to the draw for the $50 voucher. You're going to be hard to beat.
She's got the 50. She's setting that up.
Going to be hard to beat.
Might have taken the exacta.
Yeah. Andrew, it's your unlucky day. He brought up Sandwich Gate.
That would have been short too.
Anthony. Good morning, Anthony.
Good morning, boys.
How are you, mate?
Not too bad. Let's just say that smell of that Dr. Jerz Jungle Juice makes me sick.
Or it did make you sick.
Yeah, that's why. Mike, what did you think of Ty England's ride on Marinosco in the last?
It got a little bit lost on it. But what happened in that race, we finished up with sort of everyone wanting to lead. You know, the track was favouring those on the fence, and that race did look like it was going to generate a bit of speed, and they really did cut along. And he sort of got a little bit too far out of his ground, I thought, but not necessarily blaming him. So I thought the horse's run was okay. It got to the line, you know, strong enough over the last bit, but it wasn't disappointing, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't outstanding, if that makes any sense.
You don't think he should have popped out three deep when they started coming around him?
Well, the trouble is there, mate, is that the place where you wanted to be was on the inside. Anything that was sort of going forward and coming wide, that they were getting into the chopped up ground in the straight. So it's that, you know, you've got to sort of wait and try and get the right runs in the straight, in the best part of the track, and that's how the track played all day. So I'm assuming that's why he did that, but it was pretty much well held late.
When they come out four or five deep around the corner and one with a leg in the air, because it got out and got going.
But see what happened there is the off the rails and Eisenhower, the two leaders that had gone out really hard. What happened there is when they compounded and they fell back through the field at the 300. That's when Blake Shinn on Hollywood Bound, he tracked up three and four wide. I do concede. But when all the carnage was going on, he got around them and he sort of got the break. And, you know, he sort of defied the bias in the last race. But once again, that's because they went 100 miles an hour. Yeah. So, you know, if they go out that hard, the leaders compound and then something does run on.
Yep, good on you. Thank you, Anthony, for your call. You go into that draw for the tab.com.au voucher. She's off the rails. She's it compounded like the show.
Well, but they
went out hard and punctured.
Malcolm wasn't even on it. Yeah, no. Look, the last race there. By the last race, they were, and it happens all the time. As soon as a bias is quite noticeable, and all the jockeys want to get to the one spot at the same time, for the first 400 metres, there was a cluster of horses trying to establish their dominance up on the speed. And by the time they'd settled, they'd gone out. I haven't got the sectionals in front of me, but they'd gone out really hard, and they sort of didn't get much of a rest. And, you know, they hit the 300 metre mark, those horses, and they just went backwards really quickly.
Okay. We'll take a short break, come back with more calls and also some text messages. Dean Lester from Melbourne, Michael Fraser, our Sydney expert, listening intently on Punters Postmortem on this Monday morning.
On the Big Sports Breakfast with TK and Slats.
Maroons forward Matt Gillett talks about the selection of either Ennis or Farah for Origin 3.
Do you think there's been some sort of rort, Matt, regarding Michael Ennis being able to play next Wednesday night now?
It's happened before, I think, with Queensland as well, hasn't it?
It has, mate, yeah.
Lottie Vicari was the boys were saying, so yeah, it's for those rules, but I think they might be looking at that in the future and trying to pick that one up. But yeah, he can't go into camp until his game's done on the weekend, so it's a bit hard for them to do that, but it's what they've got to do.
The Big Sports Breakfast with TK and Slats. Weekday mornings from 5:30 on Sky Sports Radio and Sky Racing 1. Brought to you by TAB.
Win more with the $5 million English Race Series for horses sold or passed in at the 2015 English Yearling Sales. Lucrative prize money in New South Wales and Victoria for English graduates across two-year-old, three-year-old and four-year-old racing seasons. Features include the $500,000 two-year-old English nursery on Villiers Day. Nominations close July 31. For more information, visit inglis.com.au. You've got to be in it to win it.
The hottest stars on the planet. A collection of great songs from some of the hottest stars in country music. Featuring O'Shea, Tim McGraw and Chris Young. There's Dolly Parton, Brad Paisley and Carrie Underwood. Also Willie Nelson, Lee Bryce and Miranda Lambert. Plus, Troy Cassidaly and Adam Harvey. The hottest stars on the planet is a must for any country collection.
You're listening to Punters Postmortem. Have your say. Call us on 13 53 53, SMS 0419 767 272, or send us a tweet at Sky Sports Radio 1.
Yeah, Tuesday, that being tomorrow, the Jungle Juice Cup at Cessnock. Wednesday, the Ramorny at Grafton. And then Thursday, also the Grafton Cup. It's a good carnival, Michael. You often get involved in the Grafton Carnival?
You know, would you believe I've never been there once in my life?
Really?
No. When I lived up in Queensland, I threatened to go to a number of them, and then as I moved further down to the south of the country, I've just right. never really got around to it.
Because it in the old days, it had the making of you written all over it. Well, used to be some massive plunges brought off it at the Grafton.
Well, it used to be a two-day extravaganza, and they'd get on the drink and have a big night, but now that's all by the wayside. But you're right. I nearly got there to ride once. I rode a horse for a guy at the Gold Coast that I was riding a track work, and they were getting it ready for a maiden there at the carnival. And I was a pretty inexperienced apprentice, and at the last minute, they did a switcheroo and took me off and put Mick Dipman on it.
Oh, really?
I don't know why. Really? How'd
he tip you off?
Oh, well, he could.
What a compliment.
Exactly. Anyway, and it won by 6 lengths. So I got looked after, but yeah, that was. I thought I was going to ride it too. I was really pumped and I was polishing my boots and all this. I'd only had about like 4 rides in my life. And then Mick Dittman, they said, oh, we put Mick on it. And I went, oh, okay.
Well, you got to cop that, I guess.
Very much so. Yeah.
Hello, Peter. Good morning.
Good morning. Just a quick question for you guys, especially for Dino. Could you ask him, where is Nikita Berryman? I haven't seen her riding for the last couple of months.
I think she damaged a knee in an incident, and I think she might have had to have surgery, and that's why she's certainly been injured. I don't think it was a race fall either. I think it was like a barrier incident or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, but she had certainly been injured.
Thanks, Dino. A very quick one also. Jenny Duggan, where is she now?
That's Michael? A good question. I've got no idea. I really couldn't tell you. I haven't heard of her riding for quite a while, no. I just don't know where Jenny is at the moment.
Okay. Thanks, right. Guys.
Don't worry. We'll give you an update. So stay listening, Peter, and we'll give you an update regarding Jenny. Let's keep going down to Balmain Max. Hi, Balmain Max.
Hey, TK, mate, before I talk to Dino about Shikapur, mate, anyone who wants to watch Melbourne racing, just tune in the channel 78.
78, okay.
78, mate, yeah, and they get all the Melbourne racing, and if they miss them during the day, they get the replays of the night. No charge for that.
Okay.
Now, Dino, Shikapur.
Yep.
Won the last at Ballarat on Wednesday. Mate, the way that Michael D rode, I thought I was watching Peter Cook in the glory days. The push out from there, mate. They tried to keep him in, but that was a ride. But what are they going to do with him? Metropolitan or Caulfield Cup, something like that?
I think they'll just have the carnival. He was a pretty handy horse in France, and that's why they bought him, obviously. But that was the first time he's shown anything, really. And I think they'll be happy to get that win and see if they can keep him winning and go from there. He's obviously shown them something because he's been entered twice for sales, like the Lloyd Williams team tend to do, and he's been withdrawn at the last minute. So he's obviously shown them something, and he did that the other day. And, yeah, that was the fourth winner for the day for Michael D. He was on a roll, and fortunately he tried to do that trick on heavy on Saturday and push out, and he couldn't get out and should have won easily. But, Shikapur back in a bit of form.
Good on you. Thanks for that, Dino. Thanks, boys.
Thanks, Balmain Max. What did you make of the fourth at Rose Hill Gardens, Michael? There was a good plunge on Land Grant, trained by Chris Lees. He set a slow pace. He kicked and was too good. He looks like a pretty progressive horse.
Lightly raced galloper. He's only had four. Well, prior to Saturday, only had the four starts. Coming off an easy enough win at Newcastle over 1,300 metres. Went straight to the front. Gave plenty under pressure in the straight. Yeah, lightly raced horse, progressing along quite nicely. I think that was its, as I said, fifth start for its third win.
Good on you. Let's keep taking calls on the open line. Hello, Sam. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Question for Michael. Michael, I listened to your show on Saturday morning, and you had Ray Marahi on, who mentioned the track was coming out 8 metres, and he said that Y would be the place to be. That seems to be the good part of the track. And I'm just a bit confused because, you know, we did have a back marker runner on Saturday who drew wide and, you know, we thought this is going to be great. It'll suit us. But the pattern obviously ended up being on the inside. So I'm just a bit confused about the information given to punters or, you know, stewards making opinions that early in the morning and skewing the way people do their form.
Well,
what's your thought?
Well, actually, I sort of have a tendency to agree with you there. When I spoke about how I thought the track would unfold, I said that, you know, when the track's on a backup like it was from the previous Saturday, and pretty much after race one, races 2 through to 8, they got 8, 10, 12 horses away from the fence on a heavy track, and they cut it up quite noticeably. Now, when the rail comes out 8 metres on Saturday, they were still on an area where no horse went the previous Saturday, and I made the point, I said, look, this track could quite easily play towards the fence because this 8 metre rail is now the crown. Now, no one's been anywhere near it, and are they going to go to the complete outside rail to get fresh ground? So I said, it's a wait and see. I can't guarantee it, but I would suspect that the fence is going to be the place to be.
Right.
And that's exactly as it turned out. Now,
they went early on, they tended to go the middle, but then it was pretty obvious, wasn't it? The fence was the place to be.
What happened was race one, the first winner missed the start, came around, sat three wide, facing the breeze. Second and third came from off the speed and ran on. In the second race, a similar thing happened. They got away from the fence. But in the third race, the winner got a rails run and got the cash, and that was the end of it. Everyone went back to the fence for the last for the remainder of the program.
Yeah. Do you think it's right for the stewards to be giving opinions, though, on where you think the running will be, or wait and see?
Yeah, I think a wait and see. I think that they should take more control of track bias, and I think the industry should take more control of it because...
What do you mean? How do you do that?
Well, because... Everyone puts their head in the sand about it, right? Say Randwick, you turn up for the Randwick Carnival, and after the first two races, everyone knows the fence is no good.
Right.
So why don't the stewards come out and establish it and say, okay, guys, we think that the pattern today, it's looked like the fence is no good. We're just making everyone aware that the fence is no good. So that stops any integrity issues for a start. I mean, if the stewards come out and say they think the track's going to do this, and you got a bad jockey like ex-jockey Mike Fraser that wants to get one beat and sails up the fence in the worst ground, that sort of thing is negated.
What if one sails up the fence and wins, though, Michael?
Well, that's...
Do you know what I mean?
I'm not...
I can't think you can...
I know that. I'm just saying if they make a broad generalisation as to how they think the track's playing, nothing's ever guaranteed. Nothing's ever guaranteed. We know that. But it's just the way it is. I mean, it's track bias. It's a bad thing.
You know
thing.
What? I think it's something that you've got to listen to other experts but the stewards, right? And then you enter your wager with the information you've got at hand, and then you make your best choice.
I think it's better to say nothing rather than something and then leave it to the track on the day. Yep.
Or you listen to someone like Michael.
What do you think, Dean?
Oh, look, I'd be leaving it to the participants. I mean, and that's part of the, if you
the
get
quandary,
a rider,
isn't it?
You
way.
Get a rider that walks the track and walks it right. Like I remember back through the championships, you gave us a great lead in the day that the fence was on at Randwick, Michael, and told us on Formline on the Thursday night. So you'd done your homework and you were good enough to share that with us. But you've got that expertise, and I think if riders that you know that are good track walkers are good at it, you might follow them through a day.
They could get it wrong. You know
they
what I mean?
Get, of course they can, I don't like the idea of stewards directing.
No, I don't say
traffic.
I don't say they direct them, but if they just turn around and say, as a general feeling, we think this is how the track's playing on the day, right? Yeah. If they just generalise a little bit, then you don't get the issue where the magic man. Say if they had have said at that Randwick meeting where you just said, I said the fence was the go. If the stewards had to turn around and said after race three, look, this track is playing quite fair. There's no problem with the fence at all here, and then Joe Moreira, he goes out and says, oh, the fence is okay. He would have won on Winks. As I say, you can't direct them not to do this and not to do that. But if you just highlight how they think the track is, I just think it may be, and look, Dean made a really good point there. If you're a good track walker or if you're a really smart Huey Bowman jockey that rides for the bias, what about the jockeys that aren't smart enough? Do the punters that back them then have the disadvantage of having a jockey that doesn't know what he's doing?
Yes.
Well, is that fair?
Well, that's the decision you've got to make.
Oh, yeah, but it's not. It's but punters aren't.
What about when it's leaders bias? Do you want the stewards to come out and say leaders bias today? So if you're back in the second half of the field, you can't win.
I look forward to just any official admitting that there is track bias, Michael.
Well, no, they never do.
What do they deny? There's track bias.
Of course they do. No, but nobody wants to mention the word.
I think a leading administrator down here in Melbourne about 12 years ago said, "You never hear the winners complaining."
No,
it's true.
No,
and
true.
That's their thought on it.
Yeah.
No, exactly right. Taking your calls, 13 53 53, text messages coming in. There's plenty of them. Could never understand why you watch races on the TV when radio is available. That's right, all the Melbourne races. I always feel my horse will hit the front till the last stride, while on TV you can see it tailed off. Barry.
I like that.
That's the great mystery of radio.
The
Barry.
Optimist.
It's a good
you're always
text.
In the race.
Well, he's in the, gives him a chance. He's sucked up to the station. He's a chance of winning the $50. He's done very well, but he won't win it. But
Loris is a model.
I think you found your exacta runner, though, Michael.
Yeah.
Let's get to the open line. Hi, Sam. Good morning. Oh, sorry, Kurt. Good morning, Kurt.
G'day, Terry. How are you?
Good, thank you.
That's the shot. Good on you, boys. How are you all?
Good, Kurt. Go steady.
Hey, Dino, mate. Just with Volcanic Ash, mate, I thought that was a pretty gun ride by Ollie, but would you say that, you know, that win was contributed more to the ride? I think so. I'm just, if you were there, like, what do you think?
Well, there was a few little things that helped there, Kurt. When Tsar Speed rolled along, Ollie was able to get in because the horse looked like he was going to over-race. But more importantly, the rain on the day. He's a gun soft tracker, that horse. And
plus the scratching of the top weight.
Well, yeah, and he runs this Saturday. But Duke of Brunswick's that horse. But Volcanic Ash, he's a competitive horse at Saturday grade, but he's better on the wet. So if you see him on wet ground, you've got to elevate him. He's a terrific wet tracker.
Oh, no, I backed it. So what you're saying is, you know, the ride was better than, you know, what the performance of the horse probably produced.
Oh, no. Look, the horse had to dig in for the fight. He was off the bit coming to the turn, so he did a good job, but it was a good ride, yeah.
All right. And can I ask you about a couple since you've been away?
I have been on holidays, Kurt.
Only two, Kurt.
Yeah, all right. What was it called? Parwin Prince from the Henry Dwyer Yard.
Yeah, he's come back a lot better horse. He won okay as a early three-year-old, and he's had a long spell, and, gee, he was impressive last Wednesday. He'll be winning better races.
Yeah, my word. And the first starter, Windforce, the half to Nakoni and Nicanero.
Yeah, he's probably the best winner whilst I was away, really. He won on the synthetic at Pakenham, and Stable have got a huge opinion of him, and Dwayne Dunn went down to ride him that day, and, he won easily. He's a good horse.
You haven't lost your touch. He's still pretty sharp. That's Kurt. We'll take a short break, then more of Punters Postmortem.
Breeders' Quirindi Jockey Club Stallion Tender is now open. Almost 40 outstanding stallions could be yours at very affordable prices. Sires are standing across New South Wales, Queensland and Victoria, and include Almaha, Monaco Consul, Trusting and Lucas Cranach. It's time to make an offer with Quirindi Jockey Club. Call 0408 461 905 or email qjc@bigpond.net.au. Hurry, tenders close July 17.
If you're building a house, you'll want the highest quality lintels at the lowest possible price. For concrete lintels, galvanised steel lintels, render mesh bars, T-bars and other steel building products, the Builders Steel Direct team can't and won't be beaten on price or service. Next day delivery is guaranteed. For the best lintels, T-bars, render mesh and arch bars at unbeatable low prices, check out builderssteeldirect.com.au or call Builders Steel Direct, the lintel specialists, 9623 8584.
Now on Punter's Postmortem. What are the horses to follow?
Horses to follow. Allegria for me, flew late in the fourth race. What about you, Michael?
The lightly raced Land Grant.
Yeah, which one?
Land Grant, yes, and Sir Mako.
Yep.
From Chris Wallace Yard. Since he's taken over this horse, it's grown a leg, this horse. It's improved out of sight.
Yeah, Marvin Ostro was another one that probably had a little bit of a watch me next time look about it as well. Dino, you're one to follow?
In Melbourne, the first winner, Green Card, is a really smart horse. He's a lot better than a winter grade horse, and I think he'll freshen up. In the early part of the spring, he could win a good little sprint three-year-old race early in the season with a bit of fitness on his side.
And just if people are wondering, the Eclipse Stakes was staged at Sandown. It's the big Group 1, and Golden Horn for John Godston won the race. Might go onto the arc. Frankie Dettori, he's having a real resurgence, Dino.
He's having a fantastic year, isn't he? Getting on the right horses, and it's certainly one of them. He's been very kind to him, Golden Horn.
He beat that other one called the Grey Gatsby, which goes pretty good too.
Saw Frankie on the grid at the Formula One Grand Prix last night.
Ah, Silverstone.
How good's he?
Yeah, he's trying. Right.
Quick question for Dean, if I got a chance.
Yes, mate.
Mr. Impatience. Mike Moroney's horse won the Queensland Cup on the weekend. Any thoughts about it having, you know, any ability, or was that just an average win?
I reckon that'll be the highlight of his career.
Yeah, okay.
Well, at least he's had one.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't think he'd have one.
I got to say, I watched that. Watching that race, loved the beaches, expecting it to go out there and open up a really big lead, and I was quite intrigued. It sort of led, but it never really looked comfortable, Michael, and it never got much of a break, and in the end, the two cleared out, Mr. Impatience just nosing out Pop and Scotch, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I think it was like 8 or 9 lengths to the third horse. But, yeah, no, it was, I think you might be right. That might be his peak performance.
Now, odds on. The favourite gets home.
Loris?
92 years of age.
God love her.
Loris, you've won the $50 voucher courtesy of tab.com.au. And everybody else, you're only competing for second once Loris rang.
We might send Erin to do some negotiations for the vision.
Oh, no, it was good to hear from everybody. It's on again next Monday. Have a good punting week, Dino.
Thank you, TK.
Michael Fraser, always good to chat, mate.
Cheers, guys.
Have a great week, everybody. It's 10 o'clock, spot on the dot.